Greetings to him this morning in the name of our risen Lord, the one whom we've been studying about, the one who vicariously enters into our personal experience, identifies with us, and is able to bring our needs before the Father in intercession before the Father. What a blessing it is. First Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, whom having not seen we love, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls." What a blessing. We can know Christ, our living Redeemer, one who gives us a living hope. It's like it says in 1 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." With abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We bring you greetings from our congregation in Sunshine, New Mexico. Small group, about 12 families. And I'm sure you've heard all about some about our life and experience there. And we certainly covet your prayers that the church would continue to grow and prosper. And want to thank you as a congregation for your sharing in our personal experience in the Alberta churches and allowing our brother Luke to come up and do the work of shepherding, the hard work of shepherding and the deep, the rich encouragement that's been to the life and experience of the churches in Alberta there. There's presently four congregations in Alberta, the Grassland Congregation in Southern Alberta, and you go partway up the province and come to Stettler, Alberta, which is another congregation there. And then the further north of Edmonton, about 2.5 hours to Slave Lake, Alberta. And now there's another congregation that's formed in the Peace River area of Alberta. So get out your Alberta map or Canadian map, and if you know, and study some Alberta geography, and welcome to come visit us. We really appreciate you coming and sharing with us and have a deep sense of spiritual bond with this group and with the groups in which we're fellowshipping with. The rich blessing of getting to make new acquaintances and the blessing of the kinship there is in the body of Jesus Christ. This morning I want to speak of the subject, continue on, I guess, with the subject of what the ministry of Christ in our life, and we want to look at Christ, the surety of our living hope, taken from Hebrews 7, 14 to 26. Christ, the surety of our living hope. In Hebrews 7, 14 to 26. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there riseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear not and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And it goes on to talk about Christ, who did this once. He entered in within the veil once with made the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. His priesthood continueth ever. Christ is a surety of a living hope. Hope is a trustful expectation of fulfillment of God's promise, and we see that in this passage here, where it speaks of a law of what, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The fulfillment of God's promise to us. We think of a surety as a guarantor, one who stands good for another's debts, or one who gives assurance of payment by another who is in default. And we think of Christ, the surety of a surety, a surety of a living hope. We see where Christ was the one who made possible that we, through our default and living in sin and our inability to come unto God like was taught in our Sunday school lesson, the breach between God and man, Job just cried out, oh, that there were a day's man that would be able to stand between us both, who could understand and stand between us both. And just like one man told me one time, a Catholic man, we were having a discussion, and he said, every man needs an earthly mediator. Every man must have an emissary. He said, a physical emissary in order to represent us to God. He was talking about the Pope and the priest and the system he believed in. I was glad I could point him to the living Christ, the surety of a better testament. The one who stands between God and man and is presently standing there in the presence of God for us. The surety, the guarantor, one who has gone the way before us and made that possible. Life is filled with expectation, and men's expectations are, we just want to contrast men's the expectations of man with, and how them expectations wind up in hopelessness, unfulfillment, despondency, loss, and how hopeless that is, and in contrast to Christ, the surety of our living hope. Notice in Job 14, 1 to 10, let's turn to that passage, Job 14. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bring me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Question. Not one. Seeing his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down that it will sprout again and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Question. As the waters fail from the sea, and flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, that they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath is past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me! Exclamation mark. Then the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time I will wait till my change come. Question, all men are pondering. If a man dies, shall he live again? Is there life after death? What is the future hold for me in the way I'm living? And the way, so that man, all men, death is universal, and men will, life is full of expectation, but life is universal. Life is fleeting and death is universal. Also Job 17, 11 to 16. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day, and the light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? Question. As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. Hopelessness outside of Christ. Absolute hopelessness. We know the man tries to find fulfillment like Solomon did. It talks about in the first chapter of Solomon, and that's how men's lives. Let's turn to that Solomon chapter, Song of Solomon chapter, or Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Men trying to find fulfillment outside of Christ. Pardon me, chapter 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also his vanity. I said of laughter, it is madness and mirth. What doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what is good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I planted trees of them of all kinds of fruit, I made pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidservants and servants born in my house, also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor that was in my portion of all my labor. Then I looked in all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Then in verse 15, then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. Men give themselves seeking for fulfillment, and as he did in giving himself to accumulation of wealth and prestige and power and position, these are what swamp men and they're seeking for, to try and find fulfillment. But finally the nagging question comes. There is going to be an appointment before God, and what are we going to do? What is man going to do as he stands before God in judgment? True, I think Solomon stood there on the brink of eternity and looked out over his life and realized he was a moron, a fool, a wasteful one who had squandered a rare fortune. That was God invested him. God vested him with divine wisdom. And he gave himself to wine, women, and song, and frittered away, only to stand on the brink of eternity, realizing he was going to give an account before God. No wonder he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Did he wake up? No, he didn't wake up. He died a moral fool. I say, Christ, a surety of a living hope. Man's hopelessness is in contrast to the hope we have in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Says, in this life only we have hope. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Proverbs 14:32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his life. Young people, that's why we entreat you this morning, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Life is fleeting, time passes, and we realize we will stand to give an account before God. And we are hastening as fast as time can take us to an appointment with the holy God, judge of all the earth. You know, I've talked to neighbors different times. A dying man, they've a neighbor too, he was blind. He had frittered his way, his wealth and his life and drinking and essential living, and there he was, a wasting individual, lying in a hospital bed. I went in to visit him, and I asked him about his life. Oh, he realized his time wasn't long, and he had wasted his life. I just tried to appeal to him. I said, do you know that Jesus Christ, the wonderful gift of salvation? And I quoted John 3:16, and I said, this is a gift that God desires to give to you if you would only believe. He said, how can I believe? I've never seen Jesus. I said, do you believe who I am? I'm Harold Torkelson. I'm standing here in your hospital room here and talking to you. I said, do you believe who I am? Well, yes, I can hear your voice. I said, in the same way, you can know Jesus Christ through his voice speaking to you. And this is what he's saying to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Man who would waste his life. There's men, people with a false hope. Remember a man in Calgary, we were having street meetings in Calgary. And I was just gathering up after the young people started to go back toward the bus. And I had to clean up some of the literature on the stand and things. And a man came across the street, well-dressed, probably in his mid-30s. And he came straight across the street. He saw that we had a different appearance and said, what were you doing here on the street in Calgary? What were you doing here on the street? I said, we're giving the message of the gospel. We're giving the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing the that message. He said, what? He said, I wish I'd have been here for the service. I wish I'd have been here. He was a Muslim man. And then he just came across with a direct challenge. He said, Christ didn't die and raise again from the dead. He said, just like the prophet Jonas, he said, just like Jonas said, where he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even as he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so Christ is three days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Did Jonas die and raise again? That's who he... And then he told me what he wanted to counter Christianity. He was learning how to create a defense to counter Christianity. I didn't talk too much longer. I just told him, I shared my testimony with him. Christ did die and raise again. I didn't say, but I should have told him, your prophet is dead and in the grave. We serve a Christ with an empty tomb. He's now arisen before I told him, shared my personal testimony of what Christ meant to me. And he was dressed straight at me like this. And he was wanting further debate. You know what it says, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? So I just stopped the discussion and went out of my, and he followed me a little bit. But, you know, he said, Christ is a fraud. I'm glad this morning we know that Christ isn't a fraud. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I told him we have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our heart that Christ lives within us and gives us a hope of eternal life. Christ, the surety of a living hope. First Peter, I quoted that passage, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of the resurrection. Job realized this in Job 19, 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that my words, they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever, let's read it together. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And the next verse, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see him, God, and the next one, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The reality of a living hope, I think, dawned on his consciousness through Jesus Christ. Oh, that my Redeemer, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. The reality of a living hope. David's message in Acts 2, 22 to 36. Oh, the power of that message. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God by him did it by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Notice, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I like this verse. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is also on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made me know, made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with the light of thy countenance. Then he went on to preach that powerful message. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath showed forth this which ye now see and hear. Verse 20-36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And they called him to repentance. The power of the end of Christ had the power of an endless life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The living Redeemer. We have the witness of the heroes of faith. And you know, they, like Job, knew that their Redeemer was going to live. What shall I say? For time had failed me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, when received their dead, raised to life again. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stolen, they were sawn asunder, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We look now unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, even as they did. They staggered not at the promises of God. They knew assuredly that Christ's promise was going to be fulfilled for them, and now we have the fulfillment of that promise. What does the living hope do for us? How does it affect us? It's an exhortation to continue steadfast in faith. Turn to Hebrews 6, 9 to 15. Hebrews 6. 9 to 15. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and of things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation, the end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, because of the promises of God. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which is that which has entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made it high priest forever at the order of Melchizedek. Oh, the blessing of knowing Christ, our high priest, has entered within the veil. He has made the way possible for us to have a living hope. He's a surety of a living hope, the guarantor of a living hope. It's an anchor. We've seen that here. It's an anchor for our souls. And we know we were in San Diego some years back. I was shocked to see the size of an anchor. They had a huge anchor there in the bay on land there. And I don't know what that anchor would have weighed. But as a thought, you know, the significance of what that anchor does. It is dropped into the depth of the sea and is there, lodges in the bedrock of the ocean, and there is able to stabilize a huge ship containing which represents how many pounds of tonnage. But there that anchor holds. That anchor holds in time of storm, when it would be driven by the gales and forces that are above the surface of the ocean and against its huge hulk. There that anchor holds. That anchor that we have in Christ Jesus, that's just a physical anchor. This is an anchor that holds steadfast. You think of what the congregation has experienced here in the life of your young brother. And we pray with you for his continued healing. We think of what that action means to us in them kind of experiences. When it seems like don't know what the future holds, and there we can have the anchor of the hope we have in Christ Jesus, and that which gives us stability, support, gives us steadfastness through them trials and experiences. It gives us everlasting consolation and comfort. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2:15. First Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, 2:15. We'll begin reading by verse 13 from verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our God Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Our living hope gives us that consolation, that which establishes us in and comforts our hearts, establishes us in every good word and work. And what a blessing that is when we think of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The life he lived here on this earth, such an example of steadfastness, an example of doing the will of being submissive to the will of the Father. Hebrews chapter 2 just always blesses my heart. And it talks about the incarnation of Christ. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. For verily took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. And it talks about him being a faithful high priest. He's able also to succor them who are tempted. And vicariously identifies with us in all our experience. It's that anchor of a living hope we have in Christ Jesus. Appreciate what brother shared. I read it in a book. So he said, in the circumstances that I faced in my life, he said, I've had to, the circumstances, I've had to change organizational titles twice in my life. But I've remained steadfast in doctrine and practice. That's because of Jesus Christ being the anchor of our hope. Yes, things, circumstance can change. We might face issues that bring a crisis in our lives, and yet we remain steadfast in doctrine and practice. And the beauty of this scene before me, what I see here before me, and the expression of your countenance and your steadfastness of your faith and practice, to me is a deep encouragement. Press on. God is faithful who hath called you. Just to close, and the hope of immortality, John 11, 25. No, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 49 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, Then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Let's read the last part together. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The surety, Christ, the surety of our living hope. We will soon be laying this, I'm 76 years old. You know, my time isn't very long here anymore on this earth. And I'm so glad I can have my hand held in the anchor of my faith in the promises of God, that this old body, when it lays down and returns back to the dust, I can have, like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That when I have my, and that I shall see, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall live. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Christ, the surety of a living hope. Had a nephew, a young man. He was only probably about 18 years old. He was driving a tractor down the road, down a highway in California, and a truck came up. He had an implement pulling. He was pulling an implement behind him, and he was only just 400 yards from the exit. He was going to exit off the highway. And a big truck came along behind him. Nobody knows why. The driver didn't see him. He smashed into the back of him. And his life was taken in an instant. But that boy had a testimony of faithfulness. And as we stood there grieving beside that grave, along with his parents and the relatives, tears streaming down their face, the song we could sing, turn with me to 607, let's sing it.